Hi everybody, this is Isaac Weishaupt from IlluminatiWatcher.com. As you know, I was recently on the show Radio Wasteland. It's an AM radio station out of California. I talked to them afterwards about the show, and they allowed me to share it with you. So I am going to upload a custom curated episode on the Patreon feed. That's what you're listening to here. And on this, I cut out the commercial breaks, and I'm adding a little bit extra, narration, if you will, at the beginning here. But what this show was, you know, we talked about the things one would expect us to talk about. We talked about the Illuminati, right? We talked about my history of interest in these dark arts, as well as some specific examples of celebrities and entertainment who have unlocked these doors. The purpose of the symbols, channeling entities, powers of the mind, as well as an interesting question that I don't think I've ever been asked before, is the Illuminati more in line with one political party or another? Now, those of you that have been following me for some time know that I don't subscribe to political parties. I'm not a Republican nor a Democrat. I am a registered non-affiliate. That is an option when you register to vote. You can put non-affiliated on your voter card. Now, that being said, my beliefs tend to lean more liberal. But like I said, I'm pretty middle of the road. I think most of America is kind of in the center. Anyone with a kind of independent mind knows that both of these parties try to pull you into their own, false reality of what they want, and they both have their own agendas. I think a third party is the only way to go. However, if you look at how many people vote for third parties during the elections, it's very small still. So we got a long ways to go for that. But anyways, he asked me that question. Another question asked about contacting alien entities like Cthulhu. We talk about the purpose behind the great work of the Illuminati and becoming like gods. We talk about another interesting question was, are the Illuminati really bad guys? Because I was talking about how they're trying to get us into this immortal digital matrix so that we can live forever. And good question. He says, are they really bad guys then? Are they trying to help us or not? So I answer that question, as well as some talks about the downfalls of becoming immortal in this digital matrix and the plight of conspiracy theorists with the fake news ideas and the celebrity sexual abuses and the psyops that I believe both of those things are. Now, as far as what I've been doing, I've been sort of offline just for last few days. I'm usually online more actively, but I've been trying to schedule in. I've got a good guest coming on. We were supposed to record this morning, but he had some things come up and was unable to. So I'm going to try to get him back on the schedule ASAP because it's going to be a good one. I've also got a guy who knows a lot about Charles Manson that I'm trying to schedule to get on here. That's going to be a good one. I don't know when I'm going to be able to make that happen, hopefully soon. In the meantime, I've been researching Bitcoin. Now, Bitcoin is something I obviously have heard of because anyone in this community, you who is listening to this show right now, obviously already know what Bitcoin is. This is sort of the currency of the alt media or conspiracy theorist community or whatever you want to call it, because the bottom line of Bitcoin is that it cuts out the middleman, it cuts out the banksters, which is a huge problem, I believe, too. So I was familiar with the concept, but I didn't really get it. And I finally got to the point where I was like, okay, I think I'm going to start investing in Bitcoin because I do believe this is the way of the future. And there's many reasons why I believe that. And in fact, I'm going to do a whole show about this once I get my head fully wrapped around what Bitcoin is. But a brief sum up of why I think it's important to look at is because I took a class in college and we talked about the evolution and revolution of technologies. And what we talked about was, if you look at all of the technologies of the past, they always evolve and they innovate as they are dying. That seems to be the final sort of death rattle of the technology before they die off. So the example here would be, cash. That has been, I remember 20 years ago having to go to an ATM machine every time I needed to buy something. And then since then, we've had credit cards, and everyone thought, okay, plastic, that's the way of the future. No one carries cash anymore. Well, go a step beyond that, and it's digital transactions. I bank on my phone. I've got, you know, my credit union has an app, which is pretty amazing, and they've actually blown my mind, because you can, like, cash checks on the thing, taking photos of it, and I thought, wow, this is really great. I can't believe they're doing this, you know, a free app like this. This is fantastic. But the truth of the matter is, I think they are evolving and improving and innovating because they are on the way out, because I think they believe and they know that Bitcoin, or the concept of it, I should say, is going to be the way of the future. Now, a lot of the younger folks know how this works, but the older folks do not. And the mainstream medias are generally controlled by an older generation of people who don't understand fully what Bitcoin is or how many people are actually using it. Because I've found, trying to figure out how to buy Bitcoin, that you kind of have to talk to some of the younger people about this stuff. And a lot of the older generation doesn't understand it. You know, in fact, I called my mother and I asked her about Bitcoin, and she had never even heard of it. So it's just a matter of time before everybody understands what it is. I mean, first everyone has to hear about it and hear what it is. Then it's a whole separate thing to understand what it is and how it works. Because when you Google search the term Bitcoin, oh my God, there's so much. It's so much. It's like trying to Google the word Illuminati and figuring out what it is. It's like starting all over. And I feel really dumb trying to understand this stuff. And look, I went to school for engineering. I've coded before. I've written programs and software and built hardware and redesigned solid state recorders and all kinds of stuff. And this stuff is like mad confusing, because I went on my Facebook and asked people about it, and I got everyone sharing me all kinds of links and podcasts and stuff where everyone's got a different idea on it. And like this morning, I'm watching this one about how they think artificial intelligence created Bitcoin, and it's like this big trap. And it's like, dude, I don't know where to start. It's so much. So anyways, I'm still trying to get my head wrapped around that, but I will have some kind of show once I figure out what the hell this stuff is. There's obviously a lot of great guests I can have on for that. I'll try to reach out to a few of them and see who wants to come on, because I think it's an important topic. I think it's something that I want you as the audience to be more informed of. And whether you want to get into it or not, that's up to you. But I think this really, really has the potential to be a huge game changer. And, you know, if the U.S. dollar crashes on us or falls apart somehow, and Bitcoin does become the only way of commerce, I think it would be helpful for everyone just to at least hedge their bets a little bit and try to get some now while it's affordable. So anyways, that's enough of that. Let's get into Radio Wasteland, and I will talk to you after the show. Enjoy.
Well, you know, I was kind of hoping that, you know, in the last election, I was kind of hoping that both sides were going to come together and basically say, we found a common enemy in corporations and big money that's trying to take over our lives. You know, and here we're seeing a big situation of people with money and power exercising that power over other people.
Yeah.
You know, so it'd be nice if we could team up and really realize that we have a common enemy, and let's work on that and maybe establish some sort of rapport, and then work on the stuff that both sides just can't agree on.
Well, unfortunately, Bernie Sanders lost the primary. So,
see, it's attitudes like that, though, that are going against what I'm currently trying to say.
Okay. Well, I really don't. Here's the thing. I think both parties, everyone along the spectrum is like in agreement that the world is ruled by an evil cabal bent on plundering it at the expense of the future of mankind for their own short-sighted gain.
Right.
We just disagree about who those people are.
And we didn't even script our way around to this topic, did we?
No, but I mean, it all comes back there.
It does, because our guest tonight, it is a first-time topic for us.
Yeah.
And our guest tonight is Isaac Weisop, I think.
Yes.
I'm not sure if this is really his last name or if this is a play on Wise Up.
No. Well, it's the founder of the Illuminati, the Bavarian Illuminati, his name was Adam Weishaupt. Same last name.
Oh,
so I don't know if this guy is like a distant relation, just trying to undo the work of his nefarious, you know,
undo the curse,
or whether it's, you know, just a funny coincidence, or whether he chose it for other reasons.
Well, part of what he's talking about is occultism, so maybe he's trying to undo the curse.
Yeah, maybe.
That's freaky. So, you know, maybe there is an Illuminati of these powerful, you know, I don't know if personally I'm ready, you know, maybe after this interview I'll be ready to put the name Illuminati on it.
Right. I'm keeping an open mind here because, like, the Illuminati, they were a thing, though. You know, they were a society in 17th century Bavaria or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And they were, as far as I remember, they were kind of like a freethinkers, enlightenment, anti-religious kind of group.
Mm-hmm.
Who were going against the Catholic authorities in the area. I'm sure some of this will be corrected by our guest. And as far as I know, they kind of died out after that, but maybe not.
Yeah, that's interesting, because that's really, that definition that you just gave it is not too big of a difference in definition from the Freemasons, is it?
Well, as far as I know, the Freemasons were, like, avowedly religious, right?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
And in fact, even our founding fathers, I'm under the impression, were a specific type
of... The founding fathers were, in fact, very much like the historical Illuminati in terms of views and the time period.
And Bavaria kind of sounds like a place where old money would come from.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But, you know, at the time, I seem to recall they were kind of fighting against the man in Bavaria, but... I don't know. I guess the Illuminati sold out. And
they were like the Scarlet Pimpernel or something? They were kind of like the good guys at the time?
Yeah, well, exactly, but, you know...
Isn't the Scarlet Pimpernel like that French Zorro or something?
I have no idea what you're talking about, but the point is that they sold out.
All right. Well, you are listening to Radio Wasteland, and when we come back, we have our guest, Isaac Weishaupt, and we will be discussing the Illuminati and occultism here in America. All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and we're here with our guest, Isaac Weishaupt. Am I saying that correctly, Isaac?
Yes, sir. I actually like the previous explanation of wise up. That's a pretty entertaining...
yeah, I didn't know. It took Sean giving me the history to know where the last name came from.
The probably erroneous history, because I am not an expert in the Illuminati by any means.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not my real name. It's a pseudonym. I use a pseudonym for various reasons. Obviously, the material I talk about is controversial, and you know, people like Google want to say I'm a subversive, but I'm really just trying to explore these ideas and trying to make sense out of what's going on, because most people understand that there is something going on with our entertainment, and you know, people want to call it the Illuminati or whatever. But the fact remains that there's a following of this and trying to understand what exactly is happening and where they are taking us.
Well, let's start with the first question that I normally ask our guests, and that's, how did you get started in this topic? What got you interested?
Well, okay, so I've had kind of a lifelong sort of obsession with these dark arts, so to speak, and I was raised in a household that was a sort of non-denominational Christian upbringing. I always had sort of a resistance to it. I found myself drawn to a lot of sort of death metal or gangster rap music, a lot of stuff that, you know, the church told me I shouldn't be paying attention to. And it kind of followed me, you know, it still follows me to this day, but like I always had this kind of a obsession with it. And it didn't hit me until I started my website, IlluminatiWatcher.com. I just kind of casually was talking about some of the ideas and conspiracies related to David Icke, because at the time, he was the only one that made a lot of sense to me. He's the guy that talks about the reptilian shapeshifters. So what I was doing was I was just sharing some of the ideas he had, and I found that it was resonating with a lot of people, so I dug a little deeper, and in the last 5 years, 6 years, I've been just going through all kinds of literature of the occult and different ideas of these different groups that are supposedly part of the quote-unquote Illuminati. And what I found is that a lot of the entertainment that I digest, and that's where the paradox is for me personally, and I want to share it with others because I think a lot of people are in the same camp I am. A lot of us are drawn to these messages and manipulations and brainwashing of entertainment and don't realize what the motivation and the spirit is behind it, because when you peel it back and understand what it is they're doing and what it is they're saying and why they're showing us a symbol where they're covering up one of their eyes, then you find out that it is indeed a control system. And that's the million-dollar question of who's behind it and where are they taking us. And in my latest book, The Dark Path, I've written several books. I don't even know how many I've written, a bunch of them on a whole bunch of different topics. But my most recent one was trying to take everything I learned and encapsulate it in a message such that it doesn't come off as one of the your standard textbook crazy conspiracy theorists, because that's not me at all. I work a 9-to-5 job in a professional environment. But to me, when you read the literature of the occultists like Aleister Crowley or the Church of Satan, when you read their literature and what they believe in and where they want to take society, you find out that our entertainment aligns itself directly with these things.
And so, you know, how ingrained in our entertainment do you think this is? Do you think it's like, basically, you don't get in unless you're a part, or do you think that it's they get in and then recruit most of them?
Essentially, it is kind of what you're saying. It's this idea that if you're not willing to push the same message and the same symbols, you're not going to get the path that, you know, opens up all of the doors for you. When you look at Katy Perry, for example, and I don't know the wokeness levels of your audience, but I might keep this a little bit more basic because I know the people that follow like my podcast and stuff, they might be a little bit deeper down the rabbit hole than most. But like, if you listen to Katy Perry, when she first came out, she had a gospel album because her father was a pastor, or is a pastor, I should say, in the
right
church. And she was trying to break through as a gospel artist, and it did not open the doors for her. It did not work. It flopped. So then she said she quite literally sold her soul to the devil, and then she had the breakout single of I Kissed a Girl, which, you know, I want to put the disclaimer out there that I'm more liberal than most of the conspiracy community. Most of the conspiracy community seems to be very right-wing and very conservative and, you know, kind of against the idea of supporting the LGBTQ community, and I'm not with that camp.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, that it's not that a girl kissing a girl is the problem, it's that she made this 360 flip.
Yes,
yeah.
And that's why she was allowed to do it, because, you know, right or wrong, there is this idea of pushing what they call the antinomianism, which is this idea of supporting the adversary, which is ties into like the ideas of Satanism. It's anything that's opposed to the norms of today's society. And like I said, right or wrong, because I mean, when you look at the statistics, like I took a social problems course in college, you look at the statistics of like, you know, suicide, for example, in that community, you know, it's an issue, the way we treat the people that are members of that community. So like, I'm not saying that, you know, we shouldn't support them in a certain way. I'm just saying that if you don't get in line with the goals, you're not going to be allowed the same opportunities as others. Like another example is Dave Chappelle. You know, Dave Chappelle, he was offered millions and millions of dollars for season 3 of his show, and he walked away from it, and he was very open about how the people that he was working with were into some weird stuff. And he didn't exactly define what that was, but as you know, watching the media the last few weeks, you find out that a lot of these people in the entertainment industry are standing by idly while there's all kinds of sexual abuse of, you know, children, misconduct on all sorts of levels, and they allow it to happen because they live in a different world than we do. Roman Polanski,
there's
something, a great example of that.
Something very Eyes Wide Shut about it.
Exactly, yeah. And it's funny because the conspiracy community has been talking about this for many years. In fact, David Icke supposedly predicted Jimmy Savile, who was a UK very prominent person. I think he was even a knighted personality over there. He predicted that, or said that he was a child abuser on that level. And after Jimmy Savile's death, it turned out to be true. And, you know, we find this happen over and over again. So the question is, why do they do this stuff? Why are they into this sort of odd abuse of, you know, kids? And when you look at it, you could possibly explain it as, you know, some of these ideas of connections to another dimension, which sounds kind of odd, but like, you know, I'm trying to not go too deep down the rabbit hole on you guys, but
oh no, that's like, we're open.
A lot of the occultists, they believe in this sort of, you know, it's called a cult, which means hidden. They believe that there's another dimension. That's why they do the symbols, the symbolism, because they believe it speaks to us on the subconscious level. They believe that a lot of these concepts that you find in esoteric belief systems, the Rosicrucians or the witches or just ceremonial magicians, they believe that using powers of the mind, you can control the world. You can create reality, sort of like what we saw in the New Age documentary called The Secret. They believe in an alternate history of the world, one in which God, their version of God, created the world through mental emanations. That's why you see the Kabbalistic Tree of Life, because those spheres, those sephirot, they represent the different emanations of God. And when they practice magic, they're doing it quite literally. They're doing it because they think they can make contact with entities from some other dimension. And the reason they do that is multifaceted as well. But that's why when you hear artists like Beyonce talk about how she's channeling Sasha Fierce through her and she feels her spirit come through her, she's not joking. She's saying that literally. And she's not the only one to say that kind of stuff. They all do. Jay-Z talks about the Rain Man. And the list goes on and on of different artists who talk about these, you know, alter egos and different personalities they channel. In fact, on 60 Minutes just 2 weeks ago, they had this piano prodigy named Alma Deutscher. And she, you know, I'm going to mess these dates up, but I think like by the age of 9, she had written a whole entire opera. They're calling her the next Mozart. And during the interview, the journalist interviewing her asked her about, you know, how do you come up with this stuff? And she says, oh, well, I talked to these different personalities, and she even named them. She had names for them. And the journalist says, oh, wow, she's got invisible friends. And it's like, no, dude, like there's so many artists that say they're able to like contact these other personalities and entities and sort of channel them. But when you understand all the different belief systems of the occultists, it all lines up to the same concept of making contact with entities or spirits from some other dimension.
So it's like a religion for the rich.
I don't know if it's for the rich per se.
Religion for the power seeking, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. That's very true. You know, I can't help but think that the control system is generally run by the elitists, the wealthy, because, you know, they've got, you know, people who aren't in that status of wealth, you know, we're just trying to check to check, trying to make the house payment, you know.
Right.
They've got a little bit more free time on their hands, and they feel like there's a higher calling for them.
Well, let me cut you off right there. We're coming up onto our first commercial break, but I got a lot more questions for you. This is very interesting. You're listening to Isaac Weishaupt here on Radio Wasteland. Alright, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Isaac Weishaupt. So, Isaac, here's part of where my confusion on this topic lies, and that is the agenda, I'm a little confused as to if the, Okay, so we live in this world that's highly polarized of, you know, these right-wing thinkers and these left-wing thinkers. And both seem to like to use the term Illuminati or the controlling class and throw it around, yeah, as part of their message. From what you've learned, can you tell if this Illuminati is more in line with one side or the other? Because, I mean, it seems like they're pushing... I mean, if we're talking things like pop music and stuff like that, it seems like they're pushing left-winged ideas.
Yeah, I would say you're not wrong in saying that the liberal side of the spectrum, because they are typically more involved with the entertainment industry, they seem to be more into these kind of concepts. But I think it's like a false dichotomy. It's kind of like what David Icke coined, the problem reaction solution. It's this idea of creating a friction and making sort of chaos, like, you know, they call Donald Trump the chaos candidate. It's sort of like making people fight with one another instead of worrying about what's really happening.
So maybe more so misdirection.
Yeah, that's what I think is happening. is, you know, you've got, like, for instance, I don't want to get into that topic. Some of the stuff I've read online suggests that, you know, John Podesta, he was Hillary Clinton's campaign manager at one point, that suggests that he is in pursuit of making contact with aliens. And when you look at some of these different histories of the occult, you find that that's always been the agenda. The agenda has always been to make contact with otherworldly entities because they believe in this. It all goes back to the Konstantin Soikovsky. He was the guy that pretty much invented the ancient alien ideas. You know, Zechariah Sitchin, he elaborated on them a little bit further and started talking about the Anunnaki, and then the ancient alien shows, obviously, everyone's familiar with that. But if you look at what these people believe, is they believe that, like, the real God, the real religion should be belief in alien beings. And it's quite curious because if you watch, I don't know what season it was, but one of the episodes on Ancient Aliens, they were talking about Lucifer and how he was like this misunderstood angel and he was an alien who just came here to help us. And that ties into pretty much everything I've read about the occultists. Is they, you know, like the Freemasons, they don't worship a Christian God. They just say they worship a grand creator. That's the G on that compass and square. But who is this grand creator? They think it's like a source of light or enlightenment, which is why we get the idea of the Illuminati. They're the enlightened ones. Because, like I said, they have an alternate sort of version of history where they believe in this whole sort of evolution from aliens, sort of, or through extra, a deity, like a god that was able to create the world through the powers of the mind. And, you know, where they want to take us is for man to become like God, to create the world through his own mind.
Yeah, this sort of mix of alien and occultism and stuff like that, it definitely brings to mind for me this sort of like Cthulhu mythos Lovecraft kind of thing, where you're not entirely sure if they're old gods or aliens or both. Or so it's interesting to have the combination of mysticism and occultism in with this science and alien and transdimensional thoughts.
Yeah, that Cthulhu stuff is interesting too, because like some of the concepts. There's a guy named Peter Levenda. He's, I don't want to say he's an occultist, but he's very knowledgeable on the subject. He's written several books, and he wrote a book about H.P. Lovecraft's Cthulhu and some of the ties that this sort of beast from the abyss has with different ideas of occultism. And it's an interesting play, because when you look at H.P. Lovecraft or H.R. Giger, he's the guy who made the props for the alien films.
The biotechnology artist.
Yes, yeah. They all said that they were in touch with some kind of dark force or dark spirit when they created these sort of nightmarish visions that they did.
So to what, do we have any suspicion as to what end the purpose of this control is? Is it solely a grasp of power, or is it to stop a coming of something, or, you know, there must be some purpose.
Right. So if you look at what a lot of these people talk about, they talk about the great work. It's this idea that they feel like they're helping us, not to defend them, but I feel like they think they're helping enlighten the masses because they want all of us to become like gods, which is of no coincidence that that's what was promised to Eve in the Bible when the serpent approached her, was that they could make man like God. So where they're taking us is the way of, like, Aleister Crowley, he's the infamous occultist. He talked about the new age that we're living in is the Aeon of Horus. That's the age of the crowned and conquering child. He said it was going to be an age of magical expression. And he said that the final times were going to be the birth pains of the Aeon of Horus. So what they're doing is they're instilling different ideas and themes into entertainment and trying to get us to wake up to their version of reality slowly, because they still have to, like, destroy our, you know, our Christian fundamentals or whatever religious system people believe in. They have to destroy all that first. And ultimately, when you sync this up with the trends in technology and you look at things like Moore's Law, where the transistors that fit on a chip double every 2 years, it's what sits on an exponential curve, which sounds kind of like, you know, not a big deal, but the problem they're finding is that our human brains only think linearly. So the technology is increasing at a rate that we are not able to comprehend. So what that means is by the year 2035, 2040, just depends on who you listen to, they believe we're going to hit the singularity. This is the point where technology and, you know, artificial intelligence or whatever will surpass the human brain in capacity. And at this point, I believe that they're going to push us into, like, a digital matrix scenario, because, you know, either we'll destroy the Earth to the point where we have to, you know, put ourselves in little pods or whatever. But the idea is they want to upload our consciousness into a digital format. And there's all kinds of supporting evidence for that, but that's essentially where they want to take us.
Yeah, but still, to what end? I mean, it's solely like we're the sheep and they are trying to protect the flock, or, you know,
they want to make us immortal. So, like, if you read the sequels to Arthur C. Clarke, he's the one who wrote 2001: A Space Odyssey.
I've read a lot of people. Tons of Clarke. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, and in his three or four sequels after that, I read through them, and you find out that the alien intelligences, the big black monolith cube that came and enlightened the astronaut David Bowman, they are trying to evolve mankind into themselves because they are immortal beings of digital consciousness that just, you know, stream across the universe. So when you hear all this talk about going back to the stars and colonizing Mars and doing all this other stuff, you line that up with technology and, you know, different ideas, like when they talk about these things called mind files, where you can upload your whole personality as an avatar into a digital substrate and have digital beings interact with one another. That's them perfecting the technology because they believe that they can make us all become like gods.
I've got to say, this sounds pretty good to me. Like, I don't know, immortal, living in a world that we created to be,
a paradise
or whatever. That sounds, you know, fairly desirable.
Right. You're falling for it then, Sean.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Do they have, like, a mailing list? Can I sign up for the...
Yeah, so that's a good point, Sean. So, well, dang, we got 1 minute. So I guess we're going to go to break, but the question that I'm going to ask when we come back, and I'll let you marinate on this, is... are they actually bad guys? Because it kind of seems like what they're selling to us is not necessarily all that bad. You're listening to our guest, Isaac Weisop, here on Radio Wasteland. Don't say that's what man began on this wasted future land. All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Isaac Weishaupt, and we are talking about the Illuminati. And before we went to break, we raised the question because it seems like some of these things that they want to give us are not necessarily bad. So are they bad? Are they the enemy? Maybe you might consider that they're the enemy solely because they're trying to control us. But what do you think, Isaac? Are they the enemy?
I think that's a great question, and that's kind of the aim that I have, is to take what the mainstream media tries to label conspiracy theorists as, and, you know, because right now everyone dismisses conspiracy theorists, especially now with all the fake news thing, but I think we need to have an open dialogue about this, because before we know it, we're going to be faced with this choice. And look, I'm not above saying, yeah, that sounds great. I don't want to die. Like, I get that. I get that totally. But I think there's a more kind of philosophical basis behind this. Like, if you consider, you know, is technology, you know, things that are supposed to be connecting us, are they truly connecting us? You know, you hang out with friends and go out to dinner, you know, they're on their cell phones, and it's weird because they'd rather spend time looking at how other people are supposedly living on Facebook, when really Facebook's just more or less full of narcissists trying to pretend their lives are better than they are.
I agree wholly. Well, nobody's, you know, ever posting the bad times on Facebook. Nobody's all, hey, I fought with my wife until 3 a.m. on Facebook. You know, it's like, right. Nobody's posting that.
Well, some people are, but we hate those people.
Yeah, we do.
Bring
hate
us
them.
Down.
Yeah, totally. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, like people want to live in sort of a fake version of reality, and I think that the Illuminati will craft a digital matrix such that it will be enticing. What's the danger in this, right? Well, I believe, like, to have this sort of false immortality is to sort of give up this freedom of choice or free will, and it sort of denies the purpose and the experience of being a human and having relationships with other human beings. You know, because, you know, look, humans are, we're messy, we're full of faults, and God created us in His image. And, you know, allowing man to create us in man's image is a dangerous concept. They're, you know, right now, look at what they do with technology. They, you know, Facebook and all these social medias and Google, they're all tracking every single thing that we all do, what we look at, what our preferences are, and they're building models and predicting our behaviors, and they're doing it for different reasons. You know, generally I would say it's to monetize and to, you know, serve as ads that we click on that makes them money. But the end game I'm concerned with is us going into their digital matrix where they would have the complete control. You know, I wouldn't go as far as to say that they'll be able to control us in our every move, but our behaviors and responses will definitely be predictable at this point. You know, another concept we can consider is, like, if you look at you go back in history, look at the Gnostics. These were sort of the occult version of Christianity. They believe that the world we live in is a prison, and they surely would subscribe to this idea of having a digital matrix where we can escape off this, you know, this torturous planet that they believe we live in. And the problems, if you want to talk about the paranormal, there was a, if you look at those ghost hunting shows, right, they always have little electronic recorders or video cameras set up, and inevitably the power goes out on them, and they'll say, oh, we had the batteries charged up. But the idea here is that, invisible forces from another dimension, they are able to manipulate electronics. So, like, do we want to all have our souls trapped in a system of electronics when we don't really understand the paranormal and what it can do? Like, who's to say that they don't, you know, unplug us once all the souls get put into this matrix?
Yeah, you know, I've definitely learned that, with all this, you know, molesting and stuff going on in the news, you know, I mean, it's a prime example of people with power don't tend to be out for the best of reasons. And so it kind of leads me to believe, you know, I mean, that there must be some sort of nefarious reason behind this, you know, maybe occupying our bodies once we're put into that situation, and now the other dimension can come through and occupy our bodies. I don't know, you know. It also kind of seems like in your ideas there's some sort of room for the idea of Goldstein's Bible. Are you familiar with Goldstein's Bible?
No.
Goldstein's Bible was the book from 1984 that they used to weed out people who were free thinkers. And so they would give them this book, and that's how they found free thinkers, was by creating this sort of fake underground to weed out free thinkers, and then now we have them, you know?
Yeah, I believe that stuff like that, you know, they want to control the narrative. That's why there was this big push for the fake news thing, which while there are valid concepts here, lots of websites that are indeed fake news, and they're just making clickbait articles that are completely nonsensical. But that's no different than the tabloids, the National Enquirer and stuff. You know, they do that, but they seem to get away with it just fine. But they're trying to lump the whole conspiracy community in with this fake news argument, which concerns me because I believe they want their message to be the only message. They want to control the attitudes of the masses. And, you know, talking about this recent revelation of all this sexual misconduct going on in entertainment, I feel like, you know, there's a little bit of a psyop going on there because, you know, they want us to believe that, oh, for 10, 15 years, everyone knew about this stuff, but all of a sudden, now we're going to talk about it, and now we're going to, you know, reveal all these secrets about what goes on behind closed doors. You know, I don't know what to make of it yet. I mean, there's different ideas for why they're doing it, but, you know, believe you me, there's a reason why they are exposing all of these people that they kept concealed for so many years.
Yeah, like they're making them either take one for the team or they weren't playing on the right team and therefore they're getting rid of them.
Something, or it's a distraction from something bigger going on. You know, it could be many things.
Well, we're coming up on the end of our show here, Isaac. Can you tell our audience a little bit on how they can find out more about you?
Yeah, I'm all over the place. My website's IlluminatiWatcher.com. I've got a Facebook, a Twitter, an Instagram. You can link up with all those through IlluminatiWatcher.com. I've got a lot of books on Amazon, and I self-narrated many books on Audible.com. That's a very popular option. My most recent book is The Dark Path. That's easily my best work. That's the one that I use actual citations and literature from the occult and explain what is going on and why they're doing what they're doing and where they're taking us.
All right. Well, I've really appreciated having you on the show. This was really a new topic for us, although a topic that is regularly touched down upon while dealing with other topics. So, I mean, it's a good one to have because, like you're saying, it's potentially very systemic through
all
sorts
of things.
Yeah, there's
a lot of truth buried in there for sure.
But thank you very much for being on the show. You've been listening to our guest, Isaac Weisop, here on Radio Wasteland.
All right, I hope you enjoyed that. I know I did. I think that was a great show. I like their bumper music, too. They play good music. So, you know, if you already have read my book, The Dark Path, I appreciate you reading that. The next step is to leave a review on Amazon. I know I ask you this a lot, but I really mean it. I really need it. What that does is the reviews help other people see the book because Amazon has an algorithm, and they'll show potential buyers books based, and one of the factors in their algorithm is the number of reviews. So if you've read it, please leave a review on Amazon. I know it's kind of like a hassle. You gotta log in, find the thing, but like you can make it really short. Just, you know, one word review, great book or crappy book, whatever you thought, you know, but, hopefully you enjoyed it. I put a lot of my heart and soul into that book, and I think that's my best explanation and understanding of what's going on. And I try to back it up with a lot of citations from the occultists so that you don't think I am making things up. Because I think this is an alarming rate of increasing the occult agenda that we're experiencing right now. So I think we all need to understand what's going on so we can make our own choices about it. So anyways, yeah, go to Amazon, leave a review, please. I appreciate it. I read all of them. I literally read every single one of them on every single book I've written. Anyways, if you already did it, also, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. And thank you for being a Patreon supporter. You guys are keeping this thing alive, I promise you. I've already had to buy equipment. I've got to take my laptop in to get fixed because for some reason my phone calls are not routing through it anymore, which is very important for the podcast. I got to record phone calls through this thing. So anyways, thank you. Thank you so much for being a Patreon supporter. It's much appreciated. Have a great set of holidays coming up here, and I will talk to you guys soon.